I am Chris Williams. I am the Director of Communication and Operations in the Davis School District. I've been with the school district now for 18 years. And during that whole time, I've wanted to have a series in which I could sit down with individual teachers and ask them, what is it like to be a teacher? Talk to me a little bit about the craft of teaching. This series is entitled, I Teach. We hope as you listen to this and as you view this, that you'll come away with the same feeling that I always come away with after visiting with our teachers. How incredible they are and how lucky we are to have them work in our classrooms. Welcome. Thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Mark Allen. I've been teaching chemistry at Woods Cross High School for the past 6 years.
And what type of classes do you teach? Is it just chemistry? Is it AP?
I teach primarily general chemistry, which is really a hands-on class, and then I teach the more advanced chemistry, the AP chemistry.
Your path into teaching was pretty unique. You shared a thought that when you were in high school, I don't know why the thought came to you that I wouldn't want to do this. So maybe just start from there.
Okay. Yeah, I never thought I was going to be a teacher. In high school, I remember seeing them and thinking they were great, but they get up really early, they have long days, they deal with students all day like me. I just never thought I would be a teacher. And I didn't know I wanted to be a teacher until I was actually doing it. I went to college and was majoring in chemistry, just something I was kind of good at, and it came naturally. And I also was taking English classes on the side. And at the end, I didn't quite know what to do, so I just graduated and worked for the chemistry department while I was in the master's program. And part of that work was teaching undergraduate students, and I loved it. It was way better than anything I had done prior to that. And so my wife was actually working in the University of Utah on her master's degree in education, was kind of looking at applying and said, well, why don't you try to be a teacher like me? But I hadn't taken any education classes, so it was kind of a bit scary, but I'd got my feet wet at the university, and so I just applied, and I got hired. And that's how I came to be a teacher at Woods Cross.
So you were chasing a bachelor's degree in English.
Actually, I was getting my bachelor's degree in chemistry, mainly because I just didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was good at chemistry. And then I liked English. I liked reading good books. Not much of a great writer or anything, but I liked to read good books. So I was just taking English classes from the best teachers at the U. And it came to my senior year, and the counselor pulled me in and said, you're awfully close to an English degree. Why don't you take a few foreign language classes, get your Bachelor of Arts in English too, in addition to your Bachelor of Science in chemistry. And so that's kind of how the English degree played into it.
When you're chasing your chemistry degree, what did you envision yourself doing? Working in a lab?
Well, originally, I was going to be an engineer. So I took a lot of math. Part of the classes for an engineer is chemistry, and I really liked my teacher. He was a great teacher. And so I switched over to a sort of medical path because a lot of my student friends were into medicine, and I took a lot of biology, and it went well too, but it just didn't resonate with me. You go and follow a lot of doctors around to see what they do during the day, and it just didn't seem to be something that I wanted to do all day. But I had taken all the classes, and most of those were chemistry classes. And so I kind of talked to that professor who I really liked, and he said, you've got a knack for chemistry, why don't you try that? You know, and so, yeah, I was thinking, all right, I'll go into research or analytical chemistry, something like that. So that's what I trained to be. And then I graduated, and to get better, I continued in the graduate department and ended up teaching as part of that first year. You end up teaching and as like a teacher's aide for the entry-level students and some of the more advanced labs. And I really liked it. You know, I was working harder on preparing for my lesson for that day with the kids than I was on my homework or my actual work. And I came out of it, the time would go by so much faster than it would at like a regular job. It was just over so fast. And then it was nice to see the growth. The students would get better, and I could see like I was actually helping and making progress. It's just a lot more fun than what I'd been doing otherwise. And so that's where I ended up.
Was there a moment in which you said, I can't believe how much fun this is. Do you remember a situation or a conversation or, some sort of incident where you said, this is not bad?
It really came at the end of my first semester. The students it maybe sounds a little sappy, but you get to know them when they're working with you. You're almost on the same team trying to pass this really difficult class that the professor's prepared for them. I'm the teacher's aide helping them get through it. And so you develop a lot of relationships with the students. They will email you and call you and talk to you and come see you after class. And at the end, it was like we had accomplished this great thing. They had done well, And that was the return I got. And that's when I kind of thought, all right, I like this. I could work hard at this and maybe get good at it. And I'd say at the end of that first semester, that's when I kind of thought, maybe this is for me.
I may be wrong, Mark, but I think you talked about, I don't know if you did your student teaching at Woods Cross.
I didn't do student teaching.
You were ALA. So talk about that.
So it literally, I applied through the Department of Education and said, I'd like to be a teacher. And they said, all right, you're qualified because you have the degree. Get into the classroom. And then you can take the teaching classes while you're teaching so we can teach you best practices and things. So I never did student teaching. I applied, I got hired at Woods Cross, and I was in the classroom that fall. And it wasn't until the following summer that I really started to take, I think it was a summer, I really started to take the teacher training classes. And it didn't involve student teaching because I was already teaching. And frankly, that's the best way to learn how to be a teacher. They can train all you want in the university, but you don't really know how to be one until you've tried it and you make the mistakes and you get better and you see the good teachers and you try to mimic what they do. That's really how I came about learning how to teach. The classes were good help, but it was really a hands-on learning process for me.
So as you're an ARL candidate, did you feel any sort of animosity from other teachers who went the typical route of becoming a teacher?
Not at all. Coming into teaching from that alternative routes to licensure, I didn't get any hostility from the other teachers. In fact, one of the great things about being a teacher is you're all in this job together. We all know it's a hard task that is bigger than all of us, and they all helped. They all knew I was in over my head and tried to help me survive it. That first year is brutal. I don't know, many people don't understand, but that first year of teaching is just really rough. And having no background in it other than just trying at the university to help kids get through their class, it was really hard. All of the teachers were very supportive. So no pushback on that at all.
When we chatted earlier, you talked about, you knew nothing really about Davis. Your wife happened to be working in Davis and said something to the effect of, why don't you apply at Davis?
My wife was actually in the training program at the University of Utah, and she is approaching that student teaching part. And students talk. They say, you want to stay away from this school or this district because it's really hard or that principal might be rough. And she had heard really good things about Davis High or Davis School District. And so we both kind of decided, why don't we try to teach in Davis? We'd lived in Salt Lake our whole lives, went to the University of Utah, never really spent a lot of time up here, but we really like it. The student body is what makes or breaks your day. Your coworkers help, your boss helps, but you're spending all your time with the kids, and we really like the kids here. That's made a lot of difference for us.
Talk a little bit about your passion associated with chemistry and how you bring that to the kiddos and expose them to things that you're really excited about.
Well, I just get excited about how things work, and I think a lot of people do. A lot of my students are in that class because they have to take it, but something will trigger with them that makes them ask questions, right? I mean, if we say something and we can somehow bring it into a daily experience that they have, that will excite them, and that's kind of, I don't know, what excites me about chemistry. There's so many things that we can talk about that you encounter every day, and understanding how it works really opens, your eyes about the world and our influence over it and what we can do with it. So yeah, that just that basic excitement of trying to understand how things work. So,
when we were in the classroom, we noticed a lot of thank you cards and things that you've put up there because it really means a lot to you. Talk about the relationship you have with your students and how you remind yourself of that relationship by the things they write and leave for you.
The students, at the end of the year, you've built that relationship. You've been through this experience together, and sometimes they will write you something or draw you something, and that, as sappy as it sounds, makes all the difference. I really enjoy getting those things. They help a lot. Teaching's hard. And that return, that you've helped them get through something difficult, that physical reminder is actually really nice to have, so I put it up. It makes me feel better. It helps me remember them, too. They write their name on it, and I'll remember them 10 years, 5 years later, I'm sure of it, because you know I look at that every day, and I see it, and I see that student's face. So yeah, as sappy as it sounds, I really like it.
How do you approach the student who's struggling, and you know maybe they've decided, well, I've got to take something. I guess I'll sign up for chemistry. My buddy talked me into this, and I really have no idea what I'm even getting myself into.
Well, the nice thing about chemistry over, say, something like an English class or history class, I have the advantage of being very hands-on with the experiments and the demonstrations. I'll be the first to say that teaching chemistry, I think, is way easier than teaching something like English or history because the kids can get their hands dirty. And getting the student to buy in helps so much. Students will struggle with the math and the concepts, that's true. But if they want to understand, because they really want to, like they saw something happen and they want to understand why, you can do a lot with that versus somebody who just wants to get the grade. Now, that's not the way it is for every concept. Can't be. But we do as much as we can hands-on. That helps a lot. And then to come back to it, the relationship. If the kid knows I want them sincerely to succeed, that helps. They want to do better just because of that. Now, that won't be for every student, but I try to sincerely get to know them just a little bit. I can't be their buddy, right? It wouldn't work. But if I know a little bit about them, a little bit about their life, I know their name. They come in, I have to know their name, who they are a little bit. They'll try a little harder. And generally that helps. They may not be the A student, but they're not going to fail because they're trying, you know.
When you came in today, you're talking to us about some things that the students found on YouTube and wanted to do.
Yeah.
You've also got the state curriculum, core curriculum that you need to make sure you follow. How do you make those two ideas, concepts mesh? Because you want to keep kids excited,
yes,
and involved, but you also need to follow the curriculum.
Well, we have our lesson plan, but every class is different. It's one of the nice things and hard things about teaching. The kids will kind of, I try to look for things that will relate to their daily lives, but they are very eager to share things that they encounter on YouTube or in their daily life. They'll, Mr. Allen, is it like this? And I can, you know, kind of say, yeah, and then it will lead to another question and another question. And so they'll watch something on YouTube that's a little crazy and they want to know how it works. And it might trigger when we're talking about a concept. And a lot of times it's really helpful because it's not just me droning on. Now they're part of the conversation and even leading it a little bit, which works. It draws the other kids in.
What was it that they saw recently?
We were talking about how if you melt ice with salt, it actually makes it colder than it was before, which is a really counterintuitive thought. And the kids were watching YouTube videos of people putting salt on their arm and then pressing ice into it until it got cold enough to almost freeze your arm. And it's kind of like a test of toughness. How long can you take it? And so the kids watch these things and then they do them, but you know, which is crazy. But they also want to know why it works. And we can have a conversation about that. And then it's not me just saying, here's the formula, here's the math, do it for me. They're actually getting it and trying to understand why it works. And that makes all the difference, it really does.
What is one experiment that you haven't done that you are looking forward to do with your students?
You mean one that I do every year, we just haven't gotten to it yet, or something in the future that we
could
do?
Something in the future.
Oh, there's one that I'm a little nervous to try, there's actually a couple that I want to try, but I don't know if this is good to get on video because I'm not sure we're supposed to be doing some of these experiments. But anyway, there's this thing called flash paper, and it's really great to bring in and demo for the kids, but you have to buy it online. What it does is it takes a solid piece of paper and it burns all up at once. There's nothing left. So it's a really good way to talk about like conservation of mass and where does the matter go. And I'd like to make it in the classroom with the kids, but you have to use some pretty concentrated acid for it. But I feel like the kids would really take ownership of it because we could talk about the chemistry of it, then we could actually do it, and it never works the first time you try it. It's like cooking recipe. You download a recipe, you try it, it doesn't taste anything like the restaurant. You got to try it again. And I'd like to go through that process with the kids. And then it produces some really exciting stuff at the end. You light it on fire and it's gone. There's nothing left. And I think the kids would love that. And there's lots as a teacher I can do with that. But it is a little bit on the dangerous side. So I have to figure out all the protocols to make sure we do it safely. But I'd like to try that.
You're somewhat of a beginning teacher, but you had the opportunity to design your classroom.
Yeah. Oh, I love
Talk about your classroom and the way it's designed and how you had a part in that.
I may never leave Woods Cross for no other reason than the student body's great. I love it. The area is really nice, but my classroom is amazing. And it didn't used to be, so I know the difference. When they were redoing Woods Cross, they came to us, which I didn't think they would, and they asked us, what do you guys want? So we have a list a mile long. And actually, they gave us quite a few of the things. The big thing that's different from my classroom is I only have lab tables. So I have a very giant room. It's very spread out. I got 9 huge lab tables. But like I said, I want to do as many labs as I can. So it's really good for my classroom because we are always right there ready to do the lab. And I don't know of another school in Utah that has only lab tables. The whole space is dedicated to lab tables. And it still works from a lecture perspective. The kids kind of come in close when I'm talking and they can spread out really easily. And it also naturally puts them into groups, so they're always collaborating. They're always working together. So I love it. And I've got a few fancy tools that I didn't have before in my classroom, and I quite like that, too. It lets me do some really neat demonstrations that, again, help the kids get excited. They can forgive quite a bit of tough material if there's this cool phenomenon that they can kind of talk about and learn about, you know, at the beginning of the day. I really love my room.
One of the things that we talked about when we initially met you was the purpose of the video is to not only show great teachers that exist in our school district, but also encourage other people who have never thought about teaching to possibly think about that as, you know, this is something I had to look at. What do you tell people who don't necessarily know if teaching is something that they should consider?
Well, teaching is a hard job. That's the first thing I say. But that doesn't mean it's not worth doing. There's lots of jobs that are really, really hard. And as people know, you don't get compensated as well as some other hard jobs. But there are some really nice things about teaching. One of the nice things is the day goes by really, really fast. You are busy. You are always doing something. And a lot of times, even if it's the same lesson, it's a different class, a different personality with new questions. So I'm rarely bored, almost never. I'm always active. The best part, and the part that is key to your success, I think especially today, is do you like the kids? Do you have a relationship with them? And a lot of people, I think, who wouldn't normally consider themselves as teachers. Like if you like coaching, that's a really good sign. You'd be a good teacher. You know what I mean? If you get along with the certain age group, that can make your day a lot more enjoyable than if you're just tolerating them, right? If you're good with young people, that's a good sign that you would like your job. And that's the key. Teaching is hard just like any other serious job. You have to work hard at it to be good at it. But if you like the kids and you enjoy it, you're willing to work hard at it. It's not as bad to work hard at it, you know? So that's what I say.
So Mark, what would you say your typical day looks like in the classroom?
As far as my regular day goes, it may be different for other teachers, but for a science teacher, it helps to have as much hands-on and demonstration as you can do. So the typical day, I teach for several periods. Three-quarters of my day I'm teaching. I'm actively up and helping. But then I have about an 80-minute period where I can try to get ready for the next day. Usually that's dedicated to cleaning up the current day's lab and trying to set up the next day's demonstration and lab. So a lot of times you end up staying after school's done to try the next experiment, to get it set up, making sure it works perfectly. There's very little worse than trying and then having an experiment that you set up not work or a demonstration not go through, so you have to try it. I would say on average, it's 2 or 3 hours every other day I'm doing something like that. And that's normal. Every teaching part, like English teachers have to grade a lot more. They have to read a lot more. For science teachers, it's all about the labs and the demonstrations. That's where our extra work goes in. And so, yeah, I'd say, and it's even on the weekends sometimes. If I have a lab on Monday that I've never tried before, I'll get in there on Saturday and have to spend some time going through it. But that extra work pays off, because if my lesson is better, I enjoy it more, my students enjoy it more, and then it's something I can use the next year. I don't have to do that extra hours, So every year you teach, you're doing that and you're getting better. You have more tools in your tool bag. Your lessons are always better. I honestly feel like a teacher isn't there until they've done it for 3 or 4 years in a row and really tweaked things. And then they never stop tweaking things. You're always trying to add more. And that's something that a new teacher would have to be willing to do. Be willing to come in and know that they don't know a lot for the first year. But every year after that gets so much better. And you start to enjoy it a lot more.
And you learn from your mistakes. You mentioned the story. Maybe you should have prepared this experiment before, but you went forward with it and ended up getting a little singed.
Oh, yeah. This was, if it wasn't my first year, then it was my second year. It might have been my first year ever teaching. I had done this demonstration 6 times in college. I knew it well. I had done it 3 times prior in other classes. So we go outside. It's this big thing in Woods Cross. There's this big open central part in the old Woods Cross, and it's right next to the office. So, of course, all the office ladies and their principal have their windows open. So they're all witness to this. And what it is it's called thermite. You ignite it, and it goes from room temperature instantly up to like 3,500 degrees Celsius. Incredibly hot. And we had this moment where I lit it, and nothing happened. And so you wonder, is there something that went wrong? What should I do? And the protocol is you need to wait a half hour, and then you can go over there and disarm it. Instead, I do what you do if you like light a firework and you toss it and it doesn't go. You kind of go over and you poke at it. And I poked at it, and I was looking right down over it, just maybe a foot and a half away, and it went off right in my face. And so luckily I had my goggles on, but I had singed off the entire top of my hair and any facial hair that I had, and everybody saw it. I ended up being just fine, but I had a really nasty looking sunburn all around where the goggles were not. And then the kids, of course, never let me forget for the next 3 years. But I still do the demonstration every year, and it hasn't failed since. And it's a great story to tell about the goggles and the safety and the protocols and how you should always follow them. But yeah, things go wrong all the time. That's why we try to be safe.
You are 6 years into your career. That being said, do you still see teaching as your calling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really like teaching. I know I can get better at it, and I feel like I'm just getting good. And so it's really rewarding. I'm currently going to school to finish my master's degree, a master's of science, and I'm going to stay in teaching. I could imagine maybe moving to a different school sometime or to a college class or something like that, but teaching's it for me. I really get a lot of return out of it. And the more I put into it, the better I get, right? So I've invested in it already, and it's getting really fun. I had several really great high school teachers. I think one or two of them are still actually teaching out at Cypress High School. And I try to teach like they do, right? I had two or three tremendous professors at the University of Utah, and I just do what they do, right? And they were kind, and they were smart, and they were happy people. And I try to do those things, you know? And it's working. I get better at it every time. I'm not as good as they are, but I get better as I try.